are a couple of geeks.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I hear there's a Twitter meetup around here somewhere.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. That would be you, and you. Thank you very much. This is Listener Feedback Show for August 31st, 2009. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, saying, and me, is Craig Stepp. It does say, and with me is Craig Stepp. So that must be me.
Me.
I'm having pronoun troubles tonight.
You're having a bad pronoun day.
Bear with us. This is a companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email and voicemail comments about previous shows, not necessarily the last one. But if this doesn't make any sense to you, there is another major piece to this. You might want to go back one show in your podcatcher, be it iTunes or something else, and go back and listen so you know what the heck we're talking about. Otherwise, pull up a chair, spend a few minutes with us, and a few of our closest friends who wrote in, called the listener line, or sent us an audio clip. But before that, we want to talk about some other good friends we have over at Citrix, the fine people who brought us GoToMyPC that we told you about earlier this year, and GoToAssist, which you can try free for 30 days. GoToAssist is very similar, lets you do remote connectivity to another machine, only it helps you troubleshoot other people. And the thing I learned recently is that you can
That's a new feature.
Yes. You can troubleshoot
other people?
Yes.
Other machines.
They have.
Oh, wait, they're machines.
Everyone has problems. You can troubleshoot more than one person at a time, too. That's
the cool part.
You and you. Yeah, it does remote connectivity to their PC, so you can see what's on their screen, do live chat, file transfers, uses 128-bit SSL encryption. They are our friends because they make remote diagnostics and recovery and fix it stuff real easy. You can try it free for 30 days by going to gotoassist.com/podcast. It's a wonderful tool and we encourage you to try it, and it helps support us.
Yes, and again, go from zero to hero in 30 days or less.
Or your money back. It's free.
Yeah, it's free. It's free. Go try it out.
All right, then let's get into the listener feedback.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Woohoo!
Mailman, mail today. Reach right out and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
We've got some listener feedback from Bruce Barr, Lenny.
Lenny and his brother John.
Daryl and his brother Daryl.
Yeah.
Hey, you know when, before we get into that, do you use an FM transmitter in your car to play your iPod?
Actually, I'm about to, because I have in the past. And
using a cassette adapter?
Well, not anymore. It ticked me off.
Oh, okay.
I literally threw it out the window. It made me so mad. I'll tell you real quick. Every time I hook up the iPod, the little thing would pop out. The tape deck would say error. I'm like, what? I push it back in, error. Push it back in, error. Finally, what did Einstein say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over.
Expecting a different result. Yeah.
So you know what I did?
I
took Step to Genius and I threw it out the window.
Wow.
I'm a genius.
You're a genius, all right. Well, be careful when you get an FM transmitter. You have to not only find a band that's clear of commercial broadcast, you know, one of the local radio stations, but you also want to find one that's not down around 88.3 or 88.5, because that's where a lot of people set their XM radio or their transmitters. And it seems like everybody's got a transmitter more powerful than mine. I can drive a block away from somebody and pick up Neil Diamond going, who the heck is it? Oh, it must be that silver minivan. We actually started hearing Julie and I were driving alongside a little minivan, and we started picking up Peter Pan from their kids are watching Peter Pan in the back seat. And the one that made me laugh today was I'm driving down the street, and all of a sudden this car goes by. It was a pizza delivery car, and he starts it was something completely not what you would expect out of a pizza delivery car, you know, because usually they drive around those junkers and they throw on the Papa John's sign or the Pizza Hut sign. And I hear this.
It's got Sebastian Bach or something.
No. It was like
the theme to Strawberry Shortcake from the cartoon.
This guy's got a stressful pizza delivery.
Oh my gosh!
So that's my recommendation to you.
Wait. What channel are you? Do you keep yours on to hear all these other ones?
Mine is on 88.9 at the moment.
Okay. And that's like the default, isn't it?
Well, I've got one you can set to any frequency, even the even frequencies.
No, I mean, out of the box, normally that's like,
no,
that's
usually
like the default.
88.3, 88.5, yeah, something like that. But I can't find a clearer band. And the best part is mine has a button that looks for clear channels, but never seems to find one. It stops in the middle of a hot frequency.
It flashes. I give.
Yeah. You win.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I had one of those, the Griffin ones, the ones they were giving away at the expo a long time ago.
Oh yeah, a long time ago.
And I ditched it because I got rid of that particular iPod. So yeah, I thought about another one because it's quite frustrating that I have to sit there and screw around with. Well, now it's on the street somewhere.
I would have loved to see that. Out the window.
Yeah, well, what's bad, I threw it out the window and the little cable got caught, and so it was kind of dragging for a second. So I had to kick it out. No, and you know what, kids? Don't do that. That's, you shouldn't litter.
Littering. Probably would have got stopped by the cops.
Don't try this at home.
On to the feedback.
Okay.
Hello, this is Lenny. Hey, guys, I just wanted to let you know I'm on my way to Dragon Con. I can't wait.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying out Window 7 from the Super 8 Motel off Highway 9. Or was that Motel 6 using Window 7 off Highway 8? Oh, well, never mind. I'll get there thanks to my new GSP.
GSP?
No, not a GPS. GSP. It stands for Go Someplace.
Go!
Okay, guys. I'll see you in Atlanta. 101.
I think he stole that joke from you.
Jeez. Okay.
There goes the theory of having a good time next week.
Lenny's on his way. It's a big place. Yeah. There's 40,000 people. Maybe we won't see him.
Hey, he's not writing this off on the company expense, is he?
Hey, if you gave him a paycheck, yeah.
Yeah.
Shh. Still doing this voluntarily.
Hello, this is Lenny.
Uh-oh.
Hey,
guys, I almost forgot. Clinton has asked me to be part of the comedy forecast and friends at Dragon Con. How cool is that? We'll be working together again. I'm so excited. He thinks of me as a friend. I've got a little surprise for you all. I'll tell you when I see you in Atlanta. And guys.
Yeah?
101.
Yeah, 101.
He's got a surprise.
Okay, Clinton start scraping the bottom of the barrel for friends.
No, we're the friends. He's the ampersand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lenny the ampersand. Well, it makes you wonder what that surprise is.
Yeah, I wonder.
The mind boggles.
Is that our new catchphrase? Yeah, Clinton. from our Computer History Museum video.
That's all I can think of is that teapot thing.
The mind box. I do too. I keep thinking a stupid teapot sitting there.
Why is there a teapot? I watched that again last week.
I had fun with that video.
I keep finding these random videos on different computers going, oh, I got to put that on my iPod now that I can play videos on there.
Well, you know, the other day, you know, I was talking about Earl, who does the Retro Bits podcast. I mentioned about his interview with Chuck Peddle. Chuck Peddle. Anyway, well, he mentioned in his on the show, yeah, I have to get out to the Computer History Museum. I was like, oh, wait, this is my opportunity. This is my door opening situation for me to send this guy an email. So I sent him an email with links to our audio and the video, and I ended up watching it myself. And I'm thinking, you know, that video is going to kind of confuse him if he doesn't know the context.
It's not the greatest marketing material.
That isn't actually the official tour. The official tour was on the audio. So.
Watch for the teapot. And the Dalek.
Yeah, the Dalek. Baby Dalek.
You will not be able to ignore the purple furniture.
Oh, that was classic.
All right, speaking of video, you may have the Star Trek video coming out soon.
Yep, got some tweaks. Actually, if opportunity shows itself on Friday, since we're doing the last show on Friday night, the last live show at Dragon Con.
We're closing them down.
I'm going to see if we can.
That means we don't have any time constriction, do we? We can go as late as we want.
I was told that we could.
This would be like a five-hour Technorama.
Yeah, right. Well, we were told that we could go as long as we want. So as long as everybody's willing to hang out, I have the video, and I'll be playing it or attempting to play it after the live show. And right now it's about a 45-minute video, and I am And you know what? Some stuff I took out because the video is kind of dark. You know, it didn't show very well.
You mean like evil dark? People get killed?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Final Destination.
It's Anson Deadman.
His legs look so lifelike. So it's about 45 minutes and it highlights the whole thing. You know, I'm still tweaking it and I should have it done here shortly.
We got to get that to Vernon too. I mean, like the raw footage.
Yeah, I got to get him 29 gigs worth of video. Somehow. There's always the internets.
Upgrade that Dropbox for a few bucks for a week.
Yeah, for a week.
Okay, we've got more listener feedback.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, it's Bruce here. Bruce. Calling for Kansas City. I had gone out, I listened to last week's show, and went out and looked at the link there that was going to those Hubble deep space pictures.
Ultra deep field.
Very cool, very geeky. It occurred to me, Chuck, actually, when you were talking about those on last week's show, that you were trying to find a polite way, I guess, of saying that it was kind of the middle of Orion there. And it occurred to me the obvious geek description was these were taken from just beyond Orion's belt.
Oh!
Love you guys. Bye.
That's hitting below the belt.
The star crotch.
Now you hear a zipper sound.
Yeah.
Swing. No. All right, next.
Hey, Tucker Craig, it's Bruce.
Again.
Craig, you were asking, well, why keep these things going if it's something that you're not using anymore? I was reminded of kind of an ancient old technology story that I've heard from work. You know, I have a lot of customers I work with that are from really huge corporations, and one very nice lady about 8 months ago called, and she was having some problems with an upgrade to her system, and the upgrade to her system was to Windows 2000 NT. Yes, that's during the year 2008. I think we sometimes forget about how long it takes for some of these corporations to move on these technological issues, but
wow.
And Chuck, there's actually another customer I have that's right there nearby you in Milwaukee that have a real interesting old technology I'll tell you about sometime. But old systems, and why do you still have them going? We work a lot with iSeries or AS400s, and in fact, some of the guys that I work with actually used to work in Rochester, Minnesota where the AS400 was born and where it is manufactured and distributed by IBM. And the best story he ever heard, the AS400 has this little modem. Yes, it still has a modem that is connected to this bay that it basically uses to call home, you know, like ET. It has to phone home, and it will actually call up and inform IBM of problems that are occurring on the machine. So in case you're not paying attention to your logs, and for instance, your drive is almost full or is not ready to fail or things like that, well, it will actually call up IBM, and sometimes your system engineer will actually come up to your front desk and sign in and call up, and you'll say, what are you here for? I'm going to replace your drive on your AS400 because it's already called home and told them that drive needs to be replaced. Well, he was working with this system engineer, and the system engineer he's working with, he goes to this customer site, and he says, okay, I'm here to do some maintenance on the such and such machine. You know, you usually refer to them by the serial number, right? Nobody knew about this machine. What machine are you talking about? Well, no, I mean, I've got this report from it, and it's got a drive failure, and we need to replace the drive.
So it's
they
passed
go
away.
And they start looking at their inventory of machines, because nobody knows what this machine is, right? And they look in their inventory, and they've got no machine, but IBM has it, right, as one of their machines. And
they sold
so
it.
So eventually they find it. It's in this little kind of closet-y kind of end of the computer room, and at some point, the door to the room that it was in was completely replaced, and it was completely drywalled over the door.
What?
And they plugged in and had a telephone line connected to the modem, and about 6 years later, it finally complained that it was ready to die because it was full. So, yeah. Why do you have that thing plugged in if you're not using it anymore? Okay, love the show. 101. Bye.
Hey, you know, remember we talked about a story a long time ago. And I want to say it was a Novell server at one of the universities. I want to say it was Duke or something like that. Anyway, so they were trying to figure out where this machine was. And same idea. It got sheetrocked in a little nook somewhere in the wall.
Still working.
I'm serving out files. Nobody's asking for them, but I'm here. Yeah, I just thought that was funny because the story sounds just like that other one. But that's weird that happened.
Kind of like Richmond and on the IT Crowd. I was working in the room back there.
Yeah, I've got scurvy.
I think we've got one more story from him. Not quite as long.
Yay!
Hey, Chuck and Craig, it's Bruce. I was thinking about grid computing because you were talking about that. The first time I ever heard about grid computing was with the Next computer company. This is way before the internet was in the home and allowed SETI at home or folding at home or anything like that. But I had a friend who was out at Stanford getting his doctorate degree, and he did a lot of consulting for different tech customers or tech companies there in the Silicon Valley. And one of the guys he did consulting on was this guy who worked at Next. This guy's hobby was figuring out prime numbers. And he had some time on a mainframe system where he could do these calculations. So in order to maximize his time on the mainframe and eliminate certain things that he didn't need to waste time on the mainframe, he would actually use all the Next computers at the headquarters building at night as this giant parallel grid computer to eliminate certain things so that he didn't waste his time on the mainframe when he was trying to get to that next prime number. So imagine this. You have all these Next computers at your beck and call. Now that is really geek cool. 101, guys. Enjoy the show. Bye.
You know, I never really figured out how to make lots of computers do kind of the SETI thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, analyzing a bunch of crap.
Yeah, and then collate it back into intelligent information. I just that boggles my mind sometimes. How do you use lots of computers as pieces of a lot of computer technology things I can eventually figure out and go, oh, well, that's how they did it. I remember how baffled you were with like Norton Utilities version 3. Ooh, yeah. Speed disk. It defrags your hard drive. Well, once you figure out how they did it, you go, oh, big deal. That was back in the days when you didn't want to stop a defrag in the middle because it would leave like bad pointers all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think it was shortly after that you could just hit cancel or whatever on some of those things. But you know, hey, all right, think about the client server computing like you were just talking about, where like, what was it? Somebody was telling me, or no, I was reading an article. I think it was at ILM. When they go home at night, the desktop machines would actually receive data from the server if they're not in use and process some of the frames for the movies and push it back to the server. So that's one way that you would actually get data out of multiple computers doing the same thing. But it's a little, in another sense, it's a little different too. But they would get data, process part of the picture or a frame, send it back, and get more. So all these desktop PCs would turn into servers when they're not in use.
You'd have to make sure that you had a very common platform, though.
Yeah, of course.
If you took a slice of where I work, you could find everything from Windows 3 to OS 2 to Windows 95. Granted, the majority of the computers are XP, but you know, could you really ensure that you had the right client down there to capitalize on the unused CPU cycles?
Sure, why not? Lots of programs are multi-OS now.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, if I were writing a frame renderer thing, I don't think I'd even bother with an OS 2 version.
No, but maybe not in that respect. But, you know, you could do it. You could do that. By the way, that server I was talking about?
Yeah.
Here's the article right here. I pulled it up pretty easily. It said, one university's Novell server had been doing some business for years, and nobody stopped to wonder where it was until a bright spark realized an audit of the campus network server was well overdue. According to a report by TechWeb, and this is in 2001, the campus techies realized they couldn't find the server, one of the servers in the list. Attempts to follow the network cable to find the missing box led to the discovery that maintenance workers had sealed the server behind a wall.
Nice. And nobody noticed the square footage of the building suddenly decreased.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, I've been in places where they sheetrocked over a wall and it just kind of looks a little odd, but you behind it's like a whole other room. You know, yeah, sure. But who, you know, if I was sheetrocking, I think I'd question, you know, there's something back here.
You guys ever going to use this space again? Nah.
Check computer's doing something. Oh, well. Yeah.
That brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us your time. And thank you for showing your love. There are many ways if you want to get in touch with us. Yes.
I was going to say, I may not sheetrock a computer in the wild. There's been some I wanted to bury.
Thank you for your mud and tape.
Burn or something. Anyway, go ahead.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. If you're international, add Chuck Chat to your Skype buddy list, and you can leave a message there, too. Or record something on your own and email it to technorama@chuckchat.com, and it's likely, not guaranteed, but it's likely you'll get in the show. Works out pretty well.
Maybe. If you hold your left foot up right, just right.
We haven't expressed our appreciation lately for all the people who have been donating to the tip jar. Thank you very much. Your regular monthly donations and one-time donations help very much. They keep us going. There are expenses with this establishment, servers and bandwidth and everything, and we really, really, really appreciate those of you who have done that. If you want to join the crowd and share in our appreciation, you can do so at the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. You'll see the donation links there.
Yeah, and we need to be able to track down all the PCs we have sheetrock behind walls.
We're currently scanning network ports that are open, but it's time consuming.
Yes.
You can also leave us a comment on the iTunes Music Store. Haven't seen any of those lately, and they do tend to age. Well, no, I guess this show doesn't age. We're timeless.
We don't age. We don't age.
If you're heading to Technorama, if you're heading to Dragon Con in Atlanta, this may be one of the last podcasts you hear before you leave. We will be in the Hilton, room 204, 10 p.m. Check your 138-page PDF pocket guide. Did you see that? Have you downloaded that and taken a look at that?
I did. I was like, oh, I'll stick it on my... Well, that's kind of big. But yeah, they have some versions that you can put on your iPod Touch, I think, or something.
I've got on my iPod Touch. It's too big. It's...
Yeah.
It's huge. 130. How do they call it a pocket guide, for crying out loud?
Whose pocket? The Jolly Green Giant?
They must just have a joke after joke after joke, because their late show comes on at 9 a.m.
Oh, really?
On Dragon Con TV.
Oh.
I don't know.
What are we, the Late Late Show?
I don't know if we're going to make it on DragonCon TV, but we'll certainly give it a try.
Yeah. Oh, I got something that'll make it on there.
Oh, no. I'm afraid to find out.
No.
All right, come and watch us. Technorama Live, 10 p.m., Hilton, room 204. We're also going to be Comedy Forecast Sunday at 8:30, contrary to what the show notes say. Thank you for the following people for donating their time and talent to keep Technorama going. Madmar for all the great... Oh, too loud. Great blog content during the week. He contributes lots of great stuff. If you're not subscribed to the RSS feed or going to the website on a regular basis, shame on you. It's a lot of good stuff. In fact, we've got a couple more hidden surprises coming up in that. Ustream keeps our modest live stream going on Sunday nights. You can watch us live if you happen to be around in the chat room. 10 p.m. Eastern. You figure out the other time zones from there. We'd love to see you in the chat room. See you on the live cam. Find out how this sausage factory works. Chat room is provided by Freenode.net, by the way. If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way, consider subscribing. Let us know. We'll be happy to tell you. Technorama at chuckchat.com. Friends of Friends in Tech. Friendsintech.com. Also part of Farpoint Media at farpointmedia.net. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.